Welcome to episode 10 of the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. If you want to burn fat, gain energy, and enhance your health by changing when you eat, not what you eat, with no calorie counting, then this show is for you. I'm Melanie Avalon, author of the What, When, Wine Diet, available in stores nationwide in 2018. And I'm here with my co-host, Jen Stevens, author of Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. For more on us, check out ifpodcast.com, melanieavalon.com, and jenstevens.com. Please remember, the thoughts and opinions on this podcast do not constitute medical advice or treatment. So, pour yourself a cup of black coffee, a mug of tea, or even a glass of wine, if it's that time, and get ready for the Intermittent Fasting Podcast.
Okay, friends. People often ask me, what is the one supplement I cannot imagine my life without? And while there are a lot of supplements out there, a lot of ones that I love, a lot of ones that I advocate, there is one supplement that inspired me to create a whole supplement line. And that's because I take it every single day, and I really can't imagine my life without it. That would be Serapeptase. And I'm about to tell you how to get up to 15% off on a special bottle version that we have that also saves you money. So Serapeptase is a proteolytic enzyme created by the Japanese silkworm. Now we make it in a lab, so it is vegan. When you take this enzyme in the fasted state, it actually goes into your bloodstream and it breaks down problematic proteins in your body. These are things that your immune system is often reacting to and that create inflammation. That's why it can do incredible, amazing things like clear your sinuses. That's why I first started taking it. You can completely say goodbye to allergy meds with Serapeptase. It reduces inflammation and pain. My friend just started taking it for her back pain and told me she was shocked at how effective it was, more so than the pain pills she normally was taking. It can help reduce cholesterol. It's even been shown in clinical studies to break down amyloid plaque in vitro and in vivo. Basically, it is a wonder supplement. And what's super cool about it is that it specifically breaks down those problematic non-living proteins. It doesn't harm healthy tissue. It actually helps protect that. That's because the function of the original enzyme in the silkworm is to break down the cocoon of the silkworm without actually harming the silkworm itself. And there aren't studies on this, but I really believe it can help catalyze your fast by enhancing the natural process of autophagy. Again, not studies on that, but from a mechanistic standpoint, it totally makes sense. Here's the thing. I was taking so many different brands of Serapeptase, and they always seemed a little hard on my stomach and have problematic ingredients in them, especially special enteric coatings where they wouldn't disclose what that was made of, which meant it probably contained problematic plastics. I knew I needed to make a change. That's why I created my Avalon X Serapeptase. It's what launched my Avalon X line. I will never stop taking it. It's one of my favorite things in my life, and the effects I experience are profound, and I hear that from all of you guys as well. We test it multiple times for purity and potency. It's free of all problematic fillers and common allergens. It comes in a glass bottle to help prevent leaching of plastics into ourselves and the environment. And we even use the minimum amount of stickiness in the label on the bottle to help reduce problematic compounds. So if you want to tackle your inflammation, clear your brain fog, oh, it's amazing for brain fog, stop your allergies, attack amyloid plaque, reduce pain, so many things, you need Serapeptase. And you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. But here's another thing. We actually have a special large bottle. It's the only supplement that we have right now in a large bottle. It's the 180 version, and it saves you money. If Serapeptase is a part of your daily life, like it is mine, you definitely want our large bottle size, 180 capsules. It's the best way to save. And again, you can save even more with my Melanie Avalon 10% discount, or you can get 15% off that as well if you get a subscription, which, by the way, with a subscription, you could pause or cancel anytime after your first order. So it kind of makes sense to do a subscription because you save even more. If you want a supplement that you can actually feel the difference, I promise you, Serapeptase is the way to go. And then you might end up like me and want to give it as gifts to everybody because it's that incredible and can address so many issues. You can get this at avalonx.us. That's AVALONX.US. Again, there is the 90 capsule size and the 180 capsule size. You save more with the 180. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off or get a subscription for 15% off. And we'll put all this information in the show notes.
One more thing before we jump in. Did you know that common ingredients found in skincare and makeup products can actually disrupt your endocrine system? These endocrine disruptors are a silent threat that can have significant impact on your health, including something that is very important to me, fertility. Your skin is your body's largest organ, and what you put on it matters. Endocrine disruptors are chemicals that interfere with the natural hormonal communication in the body. It also matters during pregnancy. And that's one of the reasons I pay close attention to what I put on my skin while being pregnant. Studies have shown that exposure to endocrine disruptors can affect both male and female fertility. For women, these disruptors can lead to irregular menstrual cycles, ovulation issues, and even polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS. In men, they can reduce sperm quality and quantity, making it even more challenging to conceive. But it's not just about fertility. When it comes to fat loss, one of the reasons that endocrine disruptors can get in the way of fat loss is because a lot of our toxins are actually stored in our fat. It's a way that our bodies protect us from those toxins. These toxic compounds can even work synergistically, amplifying their harmful effects and making it that much harder to shed unwanted body fat. All of these reasons are why I am obsessed with a company called Beauty Counter. The founder actually started the company when she learned about the potential dangers of toxic chemicals and their link to health issues, specifically miscarriages and infertility. While pregnant, I make sure to only use Beauty Counter products. It's one of the only makeup lines that is officially recommended from the Environmental Working Group. What really sets Beauty Counter apart is their unwavering commitment to protecting us, the consumers, from the hidden dangers that lurk in conventional beauty products. Beauty Counter goes above and beyond, rigorously screening every single ingredient that goes into their products, ensuring that they are safe, clean, and free from harmful toxins. They're not just a beauty brand, they're a movement for change, advocating for stronger regulations in the beauty industry. With Beauty Counter, I know that I can trust that the skincare and makeup that I use are not only effective, but also safe for me and my family. They have skincare lines for every skin type, as well as so many other incredible products. I absolutely love their overnight resurfacing peel. It's my favorite way to get anti-aging benefits in a skincare product. The makeup is absolutely amazing. I have tried alternative beauty products in the past and none of them truly performed. But with Beauty Counter, the foundation is so amazing. It makes me feel like my skin can breathe and it looks so dewy and beautiful. You can shop with me at beautycounter.com/VanessaSpina. New customers can use the code CLEANFORALL20 for 20% off their first order. Beautycounter.com/VanessaSpina. All right, friends, now back to the show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is episode 10 of the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. I'm really excited because I feel like 10 is a milestone. This is Melanie Avalon, and I'm here with Jen Stevens.
Hey.
Episode 10, right? It's pretty exciting.
That is such a yes, yes. It feels like we've been doing it for a long time, and yet it also feels like we just started. So
I agree. I agree. Same page. How are things in your world?
Things are going great. It is full on summertime here, and I am loving it. I'm just reading, relaxing, learning. It's a great time.
What's your favorite season? Is it summer?
Well, it would have to be summer. I do love summer. People talk about the Georgia heat. I actually don't mind it. Earlier today, I was inside and the air conditioner was on and I was like, I need to go sit out on the porch. And I just like to be in the heat. Of course, it is June. Ask me again in July. So
I know. Check back on that with the humidity and everything. I used to love summer, like growing up. I still do, but now I think I'm more of a winter. Like, I just love Christmas.
Well, I do love Christmas. Yeah, that's true.
Every season has something going for it.
It's true. There's always something new and exciting. But I do love summer, but Christmas is great.
Wonderful. I found out I passed my wine test officially.
Oh, congratulations. So what is, do you have a title? What is your title
it's
now?
The WSET, so Wine and Spirits Education Trust Level 2 certification. Okay. But they said I actually got a perfect score, which I did not expect.
Well, that's very exciting. So see, people can trust your wine advice.
I feel like I've forgotten everything, though, already, but it's okay.
No, I'm sure it's there.
It's all good.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, so we can jump in because we have a ton of topics to cover today. A lot of listener questions, they just keep rolling in. So I'll go ahead and start with the first one. So this one comes from Allison, and she says, "Hello. Exercise is an important part of my lifestyle, but I'm struggling with how to maintain my activity levels and also practice IF. What have you guys found? Thanks."
All right, well, I'm excited to talk about that. And a lot of people do maintain a very high level of activity while fasting, although it might be hard at the beginning as you're transitioning to intermittent fasting. If you're used to eating frequently throughout the day and you've eaten, you know, the typical pattern, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, and so forth, then your body is used to having that quick energy from the food that you just ate. And it's going to take a while for your body to become metabolically flexible. That's what they call it. And that's when your body is able to tap into fat stores efficiently and easily for energy. Once you're metabolically flexible, your body just can go back and forth. Now, I'm not talking about if you're doing the Iron Man. You know, I don't have any advice for that.
Yeah, me neither.
No, you may need to carb up for that. I don't know, or eat frequently. But on just a regular day-to-day training normally, once your body is fat adapted, you're metabolically flexible, there are certain hormones and things going on in your body that allow you to be able to switch back and forth. And so you're going to be able to tap into the fat stores while you're working out, which really is our goal after all. So you need to just think, you know, at the beginning, this is hard perhaps, but there is no reason why you can't keep up your exercise regimen as you go along. What do you think, Melanie?
Definitely. I was going to say, if you are struggling, there's probably two main reasons. The first one, that you're not fat adapted, like you just said, Jen. But once that happens, it should get so much easier. I find personally now, like it used to be when I would, before fasting, exercise was just such a mountain to climb and just seemed so, I was not an exercise person at all. But now I just have like limitless energy in a way with fasting. So I do think once you become fat adapted, it'll become so much easier. There is also the possibility that you're not getting enough food. Like you might need to eat more. You might have, in adopting an IF pattern, intentionally or not intentionally, started eating way less. So maybe you do need more carbs or more fat or whatever suits your body best. So that might be something to play around with as well. And then I feel like some people, as far as activity levels go, some people do better at different times in their fast. So like for me personally, I am the most active way longer into my fast. So when I'm really fasted, that's when I find activity is the easiest for me. But I think it can fluctuate for different people. How about you, Jen?
I think that's a great point. Yes. I find I get more energy throughout the day as it becomes time for me to start breaking my fast. Once I pass a certain point, and it's the point where I think ketosis kicks in, where I start to have the taste in my mouth and I feel the energy, I feel like I could just go, go, go. And same. That's when, you know, I can go to the mall, I can shop, I can do anything, I can walk around the neighborhood, I can move boxes. I mean, there's not been any time since I've been an intermittent faster that I wanted to do an activity and I didn't have the energy to do it unless it was after I'd eaten.
Same.
Then I'm like, no,
I just shut down.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, and stop.
Right. Because digestion now is taking a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Perfect.
All right. Move on to the next question, which is along the same lines. This is from Catherine, and the subject is weight loss, fasted cardio. And she says, "Hey, ladies, loving the podcast so far. I started IF a week ago when I discovered your podcast. I'm already seeing great results. Waking up with a flat, unbloated belly every day," which I'm, side note here, I love that also. I know. "I'm curious about weight loss and lean muscle growth with IF. How important is it to work out while in a fasted state? Can I do my workouts after breaking my fast and still see the same results? And what do you think, Melanie?"
Well, first of all, I want to say it's great that she's assuming, normally people assume that they need to work out not in the fasted state. So I love that she is understanding that that's actually beneficial. There's a lot of studies, and we talked about this on prior podcasts, but intermittent fasting really is fantastic for muscle building and muscle preservation. And there's tons of reasons for that. It seems to encourage responses in the muscle that signal muscle growth, like very specific genes and very specific proteins. It's good for actually combating insulin resistance in the muscle. And I know I say this a lot, but any studies that we reference or anything scientific-y sounding, if you go to our website, ifpodcast.com, we will put links to those studies in the show notes. But anyway, so back to muscle. It is great for supporting muscle. It also, a key thing that it does is it upregulates growth hormone, which IGF, and that really supports muscle maintenance. As far as the difference between preserving muscle in your fast versus after eating, I do think you'll see better results while fasting.
I agree.
That said, most people work out after eating, and they obviously have success with muscle building. So I'm sure you're going to be doing great things with IF in any case. So you can try different times of doing it, but I do think doing it in the fasted state is probably best, and then eating afterwards. How about you, Jen?
I agree with that completely. I think that you're going to get, like I just talked about in the prior question, when you're metabolically flexible, you're able to tap into your fat stores. And really, that's one of the things we want to do with exercise. We're doing it to burn fat, also building muscle. But when you're in the fasted state, the process of autophagy is happening. And that's when your body is recycling the proteins that are, I like to call them the old junky proteins that are around. And your body's using those. And it can take those proteins and then use them to build, you know, the new muscle tissue with. So you've got what you need in your body already. We're not that fragile that, you know, you're working out and you're like going to burn muscle tissue or something. No, you're building muscle tissue, and it's using the building blocks that are already present in your body. That is one thing I think that a lot of people are worried about, Melanie. In the Facebook groups, people talk a lot about the idea that they need to immediately after doing a workout start pounding some kind of protein supplement.
Right.
And I don't think that that's the case. What do you think about that?
So I've actually read studies on that exact thing. So every day you're breaking down muscle and rebuilding it every day. You're never just building it or just breaking it down. Studies seem to show that within 24 hours, as long as you get adequate protein within 24 hours to rebuild whatever you broke down, it doesn't change anything. So it doesn't really matter if you have your protein throughout the day versus at the end of the day.
Right. People seem to think, like, the mindset that, I mean, I don't know if they're getting this advice from trainers, but the mindset seems to be that, you know, immediately after working out, you must go consume protein right that mm-hmm. moment. And I don't believe that that's the case. And it sounds like the research shows that it isn't.
Yeah, it's not the case.
Yep. That's what I've always found when I've looked it up myself. But our bodies can make do with what's around, and as long as we're getting it over the course of our eating window, we're going to be fine. We're not as fragile when it comes to protein as, you know, we think we are.
I agree. So I will read the next one. So this one comes from Lauren, and the subject is fasting question. She says, I love the podcast, and I think y'all are brilliant. I've been in the bodybuilding world competing in figure and bikini, and I wish I knew this then. My question is this. During the holidays, when you get off of your fasting schedule, how long does it take you to get back into your fasting zone where you don't feel hungry again? I guess I would equate this to the keto flu you experience while trying to get into ketosis. Second question. Actually, we can go ahead and...
Let's answer the first one. That's a great question. And I know that we recently on another episode talked about vacations and when we go off our fasting schedule, like when I'm going to go on my cruise next month and I'm not going to be on a very strict fasting schedule. I actually find I don't have trouble getting back into the swing of it at all. You know, like in the holidays, you specifically mentioned the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, that time of the year. I don't actually take days off, you know, days and days. I may be off on Thanksgiving itself or on Christmas Eve or on Christmas itself, but it's not like I'm going for 3 weeks and I'm just forgetting about fasting. And the same when I go on a vacation, it might be, you know, 6 days that I have a more relaxed schedule of eating. But as soon as I get back, the very day I'm back from the vacation, my body knows what to do. I don't find that I struggle. And again, that goes back to being metabolically flexible. My body has the right enzymes, hormones, what have you, to switch to fat burning, and it doesn't forget it that quickly. Now, if I took a year off, you know, there might be a I don't know what the limit would be for me, but I've been doing this since 2014 and I don't have trouble anymore, you know, getting back on track. Now, if you're new, if you're just starting out, it could be a very different story. But what do you think, Melanie?
Pretty similar to you. So when I first started intermittent fasting, which I've been doing it since 2010-ish, so quite a while. When I first started it during holidays, I would go off of it more. And I totally know what she means about getting back into the fasting zone, because when you go off of it, you kind of revert back to your old self. And you, at least for me personally, it's like you go back to feeling like you do need to eat constantly. But I typically would find that after 2 days, I'd be back to normal. Like a good solid 24-hour fast can really just get you back into the fasting zone, at least for me personally.
It's true. And I also find out the food is not attractive. You get to the point, you know, when I go on vacation and I eat, by the end, I'm like, I don't want to eat anymore. And then the day, like, you know, when we're driving home from the vacation, I don't need to stop and eat. I don't want to stop and eat. And I don't even want food. My body's like, fast.
Yeah, it makes it really easy to do an even longer fast. Now I'm actually similar to you. I don't really go off of it for holidays. The only really exception is for like family get-togethers where it's like a brunch or right. something like that for Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that. It does become easier the longer you do it to not go off of the plan. And I do worry that it sounds like we're becoming crazy and we like never break our fast, but it's just because it becomes so easy. And you do just feel better sticking to it while still getting to enjoy all of the holiday food and such in your window. So why not stick to it?
Exactly. So even over Thanksgiving, when I had a house full of company, my son was home from college, his girlfriend was here for a week on their break from college. You know, they were eating all the time. I was fixing food for people. I did open my window a little wider that week, but really I still mainly just ate one meal a day. I might have had more snacking here and there, but I didn't want to eat all day long. Just, it loses its appeal.
It's really funny. The concept of brunches and breakfasts now to me just seems so, they're just so unappealing to me.
Yeah. Although I do love brunch food.
What's your favorite? Quiches? Omelet?
No, I'm an Eggs Benedict girl.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, because see, that's something I can't make at home. I'm like a great cook, but hollandaise sauce, I tried to make it one time and it didn't work out. Maybe I'd be better now. I don't know.
I love hollandaise sauce. I don't eat as much of it anymore, but like hollandaise and béarnaise for steaks.
Oh, yes.
Good stuff.
Yum.
Good
stuff. And a good poached egg. Yum.
Yeah, and eggs are great for you as well.
We're actually going to have eggs tonight. It's part of our dinner.
What type of eggs?
I use this food delivery service where they send the ingredients, but this one is like a homemade breakfast sausage bowl over a potato hash, and then it's got like runny eggs on top of it. It's going to be so good. It's got all these vegetables like asparagus and all sorts of things. Onion.
Yeah. Wait, can I ask you a quick question? Just really quick.
Yes.
Because I'm working on the recipes for the new version of my book. What are your top three like favorite recipe, like entree recipes that you'd want to see included? I want to see if I have them because I've already come up with a list, but I want to see if I've included them. I've been asking everybody this question.
I don't know. Now see, I can't. I like so many different things and I eat so many different things now, but I do think a good breakfast for dinner entree is a great choice. Do you have anything like that?
So breakfast-wise, it'll be like a pancake. They're all paleo, gluten-free, grain-free.
Right.
But like pancakes, and then there's like a breakfast casserole type thing.
Oh, so yeah, that's good.
That could work for that.
Now, do y'all eat potatoes?
It's a gray area. Okay. Sweet potatoes are yes. White potatoes, there's actually have a whole section on it. It's a gray area. Mm-hmm. They're nightshades, which have compounds that aggravate a lot of people.
Okay. So, I always like to eat things that are delicious with chicken. I find that chicken is one of my favorites. Do you have some good chicken recipes?
I have four chicken entrees.
And I have recently, I guess I'm a grown up now, so I'm like learning to cook with the skin on chicken. And before, I never would buy it. And then I'm like, what? And I guess also we were thinking that the skin was, oh my gosh, that's, you know, you can't eat the skin. Well, when you learn how to cook a chicken breast that has skin on, it is a whole different thing.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will have like a rotisserie chicken.
Oh, good. And now are you like doing it at home with your rotisserie chicken? How do you do it at home?
Oh, for or how to cook it?
Oh, yeah. I thought you had a recipe for rotisserie chicken.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's going to be a recipe. Okay. Like a slow cooked, like the slow cooker.
Ooh.
Or Instant Pot, which is like the best thing ever.
So do you cook in the Instant Pot?
I do personally.
Oh, well, I don't have one.
Oh, they're amazing. Everybody should get an Instant Pot. It's like a slow cooker, but it does it a fraction of the time. Are you familiar with it?
I have seen a lot of people talking about
it. Oh, it's amazing.
Is it a little bit like a pressure cooker?
It is
combined.
A pressure cooker.
Okay. So it's like a pressure cooker combined with a, okay. That makes mm-hmm. sense. Okay.
Yeah. It's a pressure cooker, but it can also be a slow cooker, but it's a pressure cooker. Oh, it's wonderful.
Ah, well, I'll have to try it. A lot of people rave about them.
That was a tangent.
No, well, that's good though.
But it's food related because with intermittent fasting, you can eat all the things.
You can even have skin on chicken. And
you can.
I'm going to have 2 eggs with my breakfast sausage hash. It's going to be delicious.
All right.
Do you want to ask the second part of her question?
Sure. So she also says, second question, I know you said doing this maintains weight. So how will I lose and not just maintain where I am now? How does your body know when to lose and when to maintain? Thank you. I'm so excited to start.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question because, yes, you know, you and I are both maintaining now. We're in the maintenance stage. We're just, although I am still very slowly losing fat and getting smaller over time, your body is going to continue to tap into excess, unnecessary fat stores as long as you've got it. And that's where the whole appetite regulation part of fasting comes into play. If our bodies are working the way that they're supposed to, in theory, when you've got a whole lot of fat on your body should know that. And so you're not going to need to eat as much if you're able to access those fat stores. So your appetite may be lower during the weight loss process. And even so, every week or so, you may have a day where you're hungrier, you know, roll with that. But Dr. Hering, who wrote the Fast Five book and came up with the Fast Five program, he has a book called Appetite Correction, and it's just a brilliant book. I talked about it in my book as a highly recommended book. But he calls it appetite correction, and that's allowing your body to guide you as to how much you need to eat. You know, animals in the wild don't gain weight. They eat just the right amount. People have the mechanisms in place for our appetites to be controlled. So when you're losing weight, you may find you're not as hungry. You can't eat as much. You eat a little bit of food and your body says, don't eat anymore. Well, that's a good sign. That means that your body is tapping into your fat stores. Then over time, as you get to your goal range, wherever your body is happy, you'll find that your appetite increases. You know, I have some days, a few days ago, I was starving. My body was hungrier that day, so I probably had a 6-hour window, which is longer than I normally have. But then the very next day after that, I was full in an hour. So I think that you'll find that over time, your body communicates with you what you need to do. What do you think about that, Melanie?
Yeah, I agree. So our bodies definitely want homeostasis, and they know, even though it's not us consciously knowing, but our body systems know what weight they want to be at. I mean, in today's society, though, it gets all kind of crazy because we eat constantly, which kind of throws off that whole system, and we eat a lot of processed foods and that are genetically engineered to make us eat more. It's just a farce. It's awful. But the great thing about IF is that it does revert you back to a more natural state, and it's going to give your body clarity in what weight it should be at and burning fat versus storing fat. So I do find that it's not something you have to consciously worry about either way. There's fat there to burn, and you're doing intermittent fasting, you're likely going to burn it. If you are at a place where you should be just in maintenance, you'll likely just stay in maintenance. So I don't think it's something to stress about.
I agree. And people actually ask the question, like, how do I stop losing weight? You know, I see that in the Facebook groups. They're like, well, okay, I'm now at what I thought was my goal. How do I stop? And well, your body may want to actually have a little bit less fat on it than you thought. You know, that actually we find to happen. My body is deciding that too. So your body will decide. And we try to micromanage it because we've been trained to do that. We've been trained to you know, monitor our intake to stay within a certain range that we and our brains come up with, but really.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like we think we can be in control of it when it's really beyond our conscious control.
It's happening behind the scenes, if it's working properly. But just like you said, all the overly processed foods and the eating all day long, that gets us away from those natural signals. I agree completely.
Do you know how they develop the cafeteria diet for rodents?
No, I don't.
A lot of times they use this cafeteria diet to study weight gain and weight loss in rodents. And that actually started because originally they would try to fatten up rodents and rats with high fat diets, which would kind of work, like, but not ideally. But then this researcher one day, apparently he saw a rat go over, I don't know why, but there were some Fruit Loops laying around. And so the rat went over and started eating the Fruit Loops and just started gorging on the Fruit Loops. And so then they went to the grocery store and they got all of these grocery products like Fruit Loops and processed foods. And they started using that instead for weight gain in the rodents. And the rodents just like the weight took off.
Well, that makes sense. The food, first of all, is overly palatable, which, you know, tricks the brain into, you want more and more of it. And then also, based on what I've read, it messes up your gut microbiome and then mm-hmm. you start craving even more of it. So like processed food does many, many bad things in the body. Now, do I still eat processed foods? Yes, but it's not the mainstay of what I eat.
And then also it doesn't give you nutrients, so you're still craving. Right. So
exactly.
Crazy, crazy.
All right, we've got another question, and this one is from Skip, and the subject is vegan diets. And Skip says, you guys mentioned that you tried going vegan but couldn't do it. Were you eating a whole foods, plant-based diet consisting of fruits, vegetables, both starchy and non-starchy, whole unrefined grains, legumes, which are beans, nuts, and seeds? It's worked for me for over 8 years now, and I add IF to it. Thanks.
Okay, I'm so excited about this question. So excited. Well, first of all, it's fantastic that you've been doing it for 8 years and it's working for you. Wonderful. I think that's great. When I personally tried vegetarianism, I didn't try veganism, but when I personally tried it, yes, it was back in my crazy try all the diets days, and it wasn't whole foods based at all. Now I do personally follow a paleo diet, so I personally eat fruits, vegetables. I don't eat grains or legumes, but I do eat nuts, seeds, and then I eat meat as well. And I find for me personally, that's what I thrive on. I just really thrive on that. I do have a lot of thoughts about vegan diets, and I don't know like how much I should talk about this. I mean, on the one hand, epidemiological studies do seem to link vegan and vegetarian diets to longevity. So there's definitely support for that there. But then again, they also find that vegetarian diets that include dairy seem to do better than just straight up vegetarian. And dairy, I think can be problematic. But I do think there are some specific nutrients found in plant foods that we do personally need, such as B12 can be a problem, as well as omega-3s, which are vital fatty acids, essential fatty acids for the body. And I do think it varies by person. So I think some people thrive better on a vegan or vegetarian diet, while others might need more animal products. Some of us have genes that determine the enzymes in our saliva, actually, that allow us to break down starch. So we may be more efficient or less efficient with carbohydrates. Genes can also affect how we convert essential fatty acids. So a lot of vegetarians with plant-based diets, they're getting the form ALA, which is an essential fatty acid of omega-3s. That has to be converted to a more bioavailable form in the body, which is the version that you get in like fatty fish and salmon. So that's a slightly inefficient process. It's estimated to be about like 5%. So that's a whole other thing to consider. I know I'm going on a tangent. I'm just really passionate about this subject. So I'm going to go back to your question. Skip, back to your question. No, I do not personally do vegan. I haven't done whole foods, plant-based, and I do struggle with grains, so I don't think that would work so well for me. If it's working for you, keep going. I will even have like vegetarian vegan recipes in my book. I could talk about this forever, so I'm gonna stop. How about you?
Well, I never tried. I don't remember if I ever tried vegan. when I was exploring diets, I would read the diet and then I could immediately say, yeah, I'm not going to do that because I, you know, don't want to give up XYZ. I actually did. Dairy is the big thing for me. I love dairy. Dairy makes me happy. I don't notice any negative responses to dairy. I did try to give it up back in, I don't know, the early 2000s. I tried to give up dairy and I didn't feel any better without it.
I don't react well to it.
Do you not? And see, now I believe that people don't. And that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. I believe that Skip is vibrantly healthy eating this way and that Skip is happy. And, you know, I do believe that people have trouble with dairy. I believe that people have trouble with grains and beans. I don't, though. And I really think it comes back down to the individual differences. You talked about this last week about the study that they did with different breads, and some people had a glycemic response to one bread versus the other.
Like cookies versus bananas.
Yeah. And it just goes back. I think we're so individual and our gut bacteria is different. And the more I read about that, the more I think that, you know, we're not doing all the digesting that's happening in our bodies. It's happening in our gut. With our gut bacteria, they're doing a whole lot of the work. And so if you have trouble with certain things, it's very likely based on what your gut is populated with. And so anybody who claims they can't eat a food and they don't feel well when they eat it, I believe them. But that doesn't mean that it isn't good for someone else to eat. Because there are people all over the world, you know, if we go back to the indigenous populations, the people that have lived in the different cultures of the world, they're eating vastly different things and they were vibrantly healthy. Weston Price studied them and he found, you know, they were healthy in Polynesia, they were healthy in the Arctic, and they ate completely different foods. So, yeah, I could probably go vegetarian and be happy because I eat meat, but I mean, and if I don't have meat one day, then the next day I'll usually eat meat, but I could almost give up meat, I guess I'll say, but not the eggs and the dairy. That's something I enjoy it. You know, I want to eat what I enjoy. And if you enjoy eating vegan and you feel great, then that is 100% what you should do. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. I brought up all those points just because I think there's an idea that vegetarianism is like the way to go for everybody. And I don't think that's the case. I think some people
I don't
need
either.
To be cautious. And I think we should be cautious in general. But I definitely think that find what works for you and do it.
Yeah. And I think that our bodies give us a lot of clues, mm-hmm. especially when you're an intermittent faster. One thing that's very common, people talk about this in the Facebook groups all the time as well. They suddenly realize that certain foods that they loved, either their body doesn't respond well to them, or they don't like them anymore. And you notice that because you've been fasting 19, 23 hours a day, and then now you're eating something, and you're like, ooh, that food is not agreeing with me. And it allows you to pinpoint your body's reactions to things. Whereas when you were eating frequently, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks, your body kind of masked those symptoms because you were just always in that fed state. So intermittent fasting is fantastic for showing you how your body is going to feel best. And it's the reason I don't have a recommended diet plan and in delay, don't deny, just because it becomes so very individualized. And I'm not saying that you should not have a recommended diet plan. I know you're very passionate about paleo eating.
Even within that, I like you, I think people should find what works for them. So I'm more of like a template person. Like, here are the foods I think are really healthy. Here are foods I think could be problematic. Find what works for you.
Yep, I think so too.
All right, so next question. This comes from Karen. She says, I did intermittent fasting with an eating window from 2 to 8 for 5 days. I felt amazing, energetic, alert, and free of the hardcore sugar and bread cravings I struggle with. The only problem is that I gained 5 pounds in those days, and it totally freaked me out. I didn't gorge myself or eat pounds of sugar. In fact, I ate healthier than I usually do because I found myself wanting whole food over processed. Anyway, the 5 pounds was enough to scare me and make me think that intermittent fasting may just not actually work for some people. What is your opinion? Has anyone else reported anything similar? I'm a healthy 35-year-old woman with zero medical issues. My goal was to gain more control over my cravings, my emotional eating habits, and lose about 45 pounds. Now 50, since I gained the 5 additional pounds. Thanks in advance for any insight or help you can give me.
Oh, Karen, you know, Karen asked, what is your opinion? Has anyone else reported anything similar? Yes. This is so common. And again, if I didn't have the Facebook groups, I wouldn't know how common this is, but it is so very typical. People will start, and you're eating less than you used to eat. You're only eating, she seemed to be in a 6-hour window. And of course you're like, all right, I'm only eating in a 6-hour window. My weight is going to just melt right off. And then they gain weight like right away. And the first, and it doesn't even make sense. And if you, no one expects this. And then they're like, oh my gosh, how could this be happening? And this is actually very common in the first 3 weeks of intermittent fasting. And people just, you have to explain it to them. And it freaks them out because no one wants to start a new lifestyle plan for a diet to lose weight. And now you have gained 5 more pounds. Nothing will freak you out faster than that. You know, because every other diet we've ever started in our lives, think about it, Melanie, every diet we started, didn't we have our very best results the first week?
Definitely.
Like you lost more weight the first week than you ever lost again in another week. So in that regard, intermittent fasting is like the George Costanza of the diet world. It's like the opposite of what you might expect. You know, it starts off and you might gain weight.
How common do people talk about that happening? Because that didn't happen for me.
No, it happens all the time.
Like half of the people or I guess you don't know because it's not like people are all telling you.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's every day someone is asking this question. Okay. Like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for 2 weeks and I'm up 3 pounds. And why am I not losing weight? And the beauty of our intermittent fasting communities on Facebook is, you know, I started the 2 groups that I run, but I'm not the only person in the groups now. Of course, we've got thousands of members. And the people who have already experienced it are great at talking to the new members and saying, yes, this is common. Yes, this happened to me. Yes, it took a month before I really started to see weight loss. And then I dropped a pant size and the scale still had not moved. And that is what we see a lot too. People dropping whole clothing sizes and the scale hasn't moved yet. So and they're like, but I'm not losing any weight. I'm gaining weight. How is this possible? Well, their clothes have gotten, you know, loose on them. They don't, you know, they had to get a new belt, but they're not seeing the scale results. So intermittent fasting just does not have the same results that you would on another plan.
For some people. Yeah, I just want to emphasize
that. For some people. Not everyone has that problem. Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that because some people do drop weight immediately. Like they'll say, hey, I've been doing this a week. I've already lost 10 pounds. It just really depends. A lot of it is based on the fluid balance, what's going on in your body. Your body may retain water, your body may release water, but that's just what's happening on the scale. You know, if you're also working out, you're going to be gaining muscle mass. We talked about that earlier in this episode. You know, obviously in 1 week, you have not like gained, people say, oh, you've gained muscle. Not in a week. No, that's not it in a week, but you have not gained 5 pounds of muscle, but it's a water balance issue. We talked about this in an earlier episode. We mentioned the whoosh effect, but many people find that they retain a lot of water and then all of a sudden, boom, whoosh, they'll lose several pounds at once. So what do you think? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, so I do have some thoughts. So you've been doing this for 5 days. I highly doubt you realistically gain 5 pounds of fat in 5 days. Like you'd have to eat. That's just, you'd have to eat so much food and be storing it all as fat. So I highly, highly doubt it's 5 pounds of fat that you gained. It's most likely, it could be some fat, could be muscle, could be water. Like you said, Jen, it's really hard to tell. So I would definitely say stick it out. I definitely think the longer you do intermittent fasting, you will ultimately lose weight. And so you want to lose about 45 pounds, now 50. I definitely think that'll happen. And something I really want to emphasize. So you said your goal in doing this was that you want to gain control over your cravings and your emotional eating habits and lose the weight. So intermittent fasting will address the weight loss problem, but don't worry about that. But the cravings and the emotional eating, I think that's the hardest part about dieting in general and food and everything. Like I feel like that's the crux of the issue so often. And the fact that you've experienced just in 5 days amazing results in that area is really speaking to how wonderful intermittent fasting is going to work for you. Like you said that you lost your sugar cravings, you feel more energetic, you're craving whole foods instead of like processed foods.
I mean, that's amazing. That's wonderful. And if that's the mindset and the feeling that intermittent fasting is going to give you, there's nothing that you can't do with this lifestyle, because you're going to be able to stick to it and you're going to be able to make healthier choices. So you're definitely going to see the results. So I think don't stress at all about that weight gain. Stick it out. Report back in like a month. And if you still haven't lost any weight, then we can reevaluate the situation. But I think that all signs are saying full speed ahead. It's a red herring, the 5 pounds.
I think so too. And that was an excellent point that you made, the cravings and the emotional eating. So many people report that that improves with intermittent fasting. They lose their cravings, that, like I said before, the things they used to crave, they no longer like those foods. And it's not because we told you not to eat that. You know, someone today posted how they bought this pack of donuts and they were so excited because it was one of their favorite things. They were going to eat these donuts. And then they ate one and they're like, that donut was disgusting. You know, and I didn't say don't eat that donut. That donut is poison. You know what? Maybe it is poison. Maybe, you know, it's terrible for you. But we all know donuts are not a health food. But she didn't want the donut. It's not because she thought the donut was a bad food. Her body said, you know, this is really not what you want. Go have a, you know, some strawberries.
Exactly. Fruit. I love fruit.
Me too. I have some blackberries in the fridge. I'm going to have those tonight. I love blackberries.
I love watermelon, pineapple, as you know.
Yeah, I do know.
And berries. Except for raspberries.
Do you hear something crazy?
What?
I don't like any kind of melon. Isn't that crazy?
Wait, you don't like melon?
No. I have a whole bowl of watermelon cut up in the fridge right now that someone cut up and gave to us. But I just don't like it. Isn't that weird?
I used to think growing up that everybody's favorite fruit was watermelon. Like, it wasn't. Like, I literally thought everybody's favorite fruit was watermelon. And then one day somebody said they didn't like watermelon. And my mind was blown. Because everybody picks the watermelon flavor whenever there's a watermelon, like, candy.
Oh, yeah. Except for Jen. Jen does not.
And Emily, who's the girl who told me.
Jen and Emily
like, don't like watermelon.
Looking for you, Emily. Good job. I just don't like it. But you're right. It probably is most people's favorite fruit, really.
I don't like oranges. I can't do oranges.
Oh, I love oranges.
Instant headache. I think I have a sensitivity. It's like searing headache.
I believe it. If it's not good for you, you will know.
All righty. Well, do you have any final thoughts, Jen?
No, I think we had some great questions this week, and we're getting so many great questions. I hope they keep coming in.
Yeah, I'm really proud. We actually got to all of our questions today that we had.
We did.
Normally we don't, so I'm really excited. All right. If you enjoyed today's podcast, you can go to our website, ifpodcast.com, and there we will have show notes about the episode so you can see the studies that we talked about, the different products that we like that Instant Pot. I'll put a link to that. So there's more information there. And if you enjoyed the episode, you can also subscribe for updates at that website, and we'll keep you informed on all of the latest and greatest. And if you'd like to submit your own questions, then there's two ways you can do that. You can also do that at that website that I keep talking about, and you can also email questions@ifpodcast.com. And then lastly, if you enjoyed today's show, we would love, love, love if you could write a review on iTunes. It really, really helps, and that would just mean the world.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. And I am so excited that I'm getting great feedback from people on the podcast. And I'm glad that people are enjoying it.
Yeah, me too. So definitely keep the questions coming. I love hearing them. It's so wonderful. It's so reassuring to know that, because intermittent fasting can seem like isolating in a way, because sometimes you feel like you're the only person doing it. I mean, I know you have the groups, so you're like talking with people all the time. But it can feel like when you start it, most people don't do it. So it can feel a little isolating. So the fact that there's so many people doing it now and just hearing these questions and talking about it, it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful community.
It really is. And just to speak to that for just a moment, if you have success with intermittent fasting over time, you're going to find that it'll be contagious in your own world. I have so many people around me who now do intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. like so many that, you know, like my brother, my sister-in-law, my sister, my coworkers, everywhere I go, there's somebody intermittent fasting. So it's just wonderful. It really is. And people see, and then they're like, oh, this is great.
Because it is.
So we can keep spreading the word.
I know.
Well, thanks, all Melanie. Right. And I look forward to next week.
Me too. Thanks, Jen. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. Please remember, the opinions we discussed on this show do not constitute medical advice. We're not doctors. Check out ifpodcast.com for more information on us. Theme music was composed by Leland Cox. See you next week.